Hola a todos, I am Carla Rodriguez, your coach and trainer of NLP and host of MetaFit MetaMind podcast, the place where we normalize the conversation between both physical and mental health. This is the place where you'll raise your voice and share your story. As your coach, I am here to guide you to let go of all your limiting chains behind, and I'm on a mission to use this platform to empower and create the awareness and expansion in your life. You can follow us on Instagram at MetaFit MetaMind Podcast, or you can follow me at Coach Carlita. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. So I'm really excited to announce a few things with you all, so I hope you are keeping up. I have opened up my one-on-one personal evolution coaching program. Who is this for, you may wonder? This is for you if you are ready to level up in your life, in your business, in your career, in your health and your wellness, right? By unleashing your inner unapologetic self, by unchaining the negative emotions and BS, the belief systems, to be able to communicate powerfully in all areas of your life. So, if you are ready to let go of some of those things that have chained you down, that have been holding you back, that don't allow you to keep moving towards the life that you want to create in your own life, the success, then definitely send me a message on Instagram. Tell me that you heard this message here and let's have a conversation. Another thing that I want to also share, and I think some of you may know this, and if you don't, then I have a course. If you have ever wanted to start a podcast, then this is the super best course for that. It's your podcast journey 101, which is the basic course on everything that you will need with details as starting your podcast, and that's still open for the $97 rate. So if you want to know and learn on how to start that podcast and launch it in 8 weeks or less, then definitely check that podcast course out. So I finally decided on a date in the near future for an NLP training. As you know, I'm an NLP trainer. NLP has changed my life. And so something I wanted to ask you and really think about this. Do you want to know more about NLP? Are you a coach? Are you a new entrepreneur? Are you in sales, right? Are you in something and you want to be able to communicate better and more efficiently, right? And more effectively. Right, so do you want to communicate with your clients on a deeper level or even with family or friends? You will get in this training with the MetaFit MetaMind method, you will get certified as an NLP practitioner, coach, and a personal evolution coach. So what does this mean? Stay tuned and I will be dropping way more details pretty soon, but I'm just super excited and I just wanted to drop that out there before I actually have the set dates. I do know the dates that I want, and so I will finalize that pretty soon. Something I am celebrating actually this week is that I was interviewed on an international news program called Ticker, and it's based in Australia. So that was an amazing opportunity and experience, and to be honest, the best thing I got from it is that I was able to start or even continue the conversations, right, around the Latino Latina voice, how through NLP, how it's changed my life and how it can change your life, you can learn to communicate powerfully and to raise our voice and share our stories as we do here in this podcast. So I'm just super happy, to be honest. And if you haven't done it yet, join the Facebook group, MetaFit MetaMind Community. Finally, remember to share the podcast with anybody that you think would like this podcast. Rate the podcast, subscribe to it so you don't miss any of the episodes that get updated. And remember, I am on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and a few others. So you can definitely listen to the podcast and never miss an episode in your life. So, in this episode, I spoke with Luz Maria Mack. She is a mother, a storyteller, a creator, and such a beautiful example of someone who follows her passion and also shares that with her children and the rest of us, right? She's creating an impact and making an impact through her stories. She is someone who taught me to embrace that gift we have and use that gift, so all those gifts that you have, And know that when we do know, we should use our gifts to share with the world. So I really hope you enjoy her story. And here is Luz. So today I have Luz Maria Mack on MetaFit MetaMind podcast, and I'm super excited to be talking to you and listening to your story and anything we have to talk about and converse about. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be speaking with you, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I'm actually planning on getting more of your books. So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. So I wanted to ask you, Luz, who is Luz?
I get often this question, and I always say I'm a mother first, right? Because I feel like that's been kind of like that's the word that really defines me. I feel like once I stepped into motherhood, all these things just came out of me, like reliving my childhood, becoming into my own person happened when I became a mother. So I'm a mother, a wife, and I started being a storyteller because of my children. And I want to say that being a mother has been like the anchor or the vessel that kind of like made me want more in life.
Nice. And, I know you do many things, and I want to know your story and your journey on how you've gotten to this point. Of course, motherhood and storytelling, but what is it in your life that you were like, okay, I'm going to do more. I'm going to get to be a writer, an author. What is it that like compelled you to do it or motivated you to do it? I know your kids, but even before that, what's your story?
So, at first, like many Latina households and little girls, all we aspire to be is like a wife, right? Like, oh, if I find the right husband, like, oh my God, this is going to be it. So I found the right husband. And then I was just like working these day jobs and I felt so unhappy. I was working for individuals that, for lack of a better word, they were just not motivating individuals. They were not people I was like, I want to be like them. I want to clarify that I did learn from them. Like I learned to put walls up, and it's really unhealthy when we talk about walls, because when you're writing and being a writer, you try to always get in a state of vulnerability of who you are and like really what is the umph, like the umph. I was really depressed. I've been working in healthcare for now over 15 years. And, I was working these jobs that I just didn't feel fulfilled. And then when I had my children, it was interesting because a lot of the unresolved issues that I had as a child, I was reliving them with my kids. And it was like in very weird ways I was reliving them, right? And I didn't know what to do about getting healthy about the things in the past. And I'll be very honest, meaning if I want to help my child be a better friend, I have to understand what it is to be a friend. And that's how it kind of started. Like my daughter wanted to make friends and I wanted to help her make friends.
My daughter
wanted to feel part of the community. So I had to help her feel part of the community, but I didn't know what that looked like. Right. And I know that sounds kind of vague, but it happens. Like when you're a mother and you see your child going through it, you just want to be like, no, here you go. Let me protect you. But you have to be like, but what does that look like? I have to know what that is. Mm-hmm. So I was so going through these horrible jobs, helping my daughter. And every now and then I would write things down on a notebook or on my memo pad on my cell phone. And it was weird because it was because of a coworker who's friends with me was telling me, I've never seen you so much at peace when you're like doodling whatever you're writing about. So she kept being nosy and asking me to share with her what I was doing. So I read to her a poem I wrote. And that's when I really realized that's who I was. Mm. And isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
be like in a weird state in life to figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. And it was like really like, oh my God, this is you. This is the real you. Not this, not that, not that. And then when I started sharing my work more, I started being more confident. But most importantly, it kind of helped me understand my daughters, you know. Well, I don't want to say understand them, but like try to help them. Like, mm-hmm. like for example, if my thing is writing, what's Chloe's thing? What's Andrea's yeah. thing? What's Tony's thing? So I try to help them make friends based on the stuff they liked.
Like, but it's their gifts.
Their gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it started with like channeling who I was and like my background and things mm-hmm. like that.
So do you think you had to find yourself and who you were and what your gift was in order for you to finally be able to put yourself probably in their shoes to be like, okay, I wonder what each of their gifts is?
Yeah, I think the moment that really hit hard was when Chloe came home and she said that she wanted to be blonde with short hair. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Yeah. And then my mom reminded me like, dude, like you wanted to have blue eyes and white. Yeah. You wanted to look like the Gerber baby. And that's why I say like I had to relive that moment. Like I had that moment. Like mm-hmm. now I had to help her be like okay with who she was, love who yeah. she was, and make a friend that doesn't look like her just because they like art. So like I had to come through that full circle. But yeah, I had to know myself deeper, and I had to not attach these labels to me being like, oh, I'm only a mother. I'm only mm-hmm. a wife. And yeah. I only work for these crazy employers.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that about the reliving the moment. And since I'm NLP trained and a coach, in NLP terms, we talk about those unresolved negative emotions or sometimes situations from the past tend to come back in some way, shape, or form. So that's interesting that you noticed that those moments were being relived in your kids. And then, you know, obviously you had to work on yourself, and hopefully those moments have been resolved to where now like your kids won't continue the pattern forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, the proud moment was when my daughter, when I like, she's heard me say this interview about when she wanted to be blonde. And now she always tells me like, oh my God, I was so crazy when I was 3. I'm like, no, you were normal. You were adapting in an all white school and being the only Black and Latina child and not understanding that you were beautiful just because you didn't look like everyone else. Everyone's beautiful, right? Yes. Let's get that straight. Mm-hmm. Everyone's beautiful and have their gift, but like what makes you, you, it's like unique from everyone else. Yeah. So she's actually, I'm helping her write her first book. So that happened, I want to say like after a phone call, she shared with me something she wrote. So I'm like really excited, but I don't want to say it was me because she was always artistic, mm-hmm. but I think since she's seen me gone through this journey, she's yeah. like,
she likes like, it. She's found interest in it.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, definitely.
That's so cool. Imagine if y'all collaborate one day in a book.
Well, I want to say we are in her first book because well, she illustrated all her images, but I had to find an artist to help me digitize it so we could make it into a layout. Mm-hmm. All her words are her words, but I had to prove and edit a lot of it.
That's amazing that she's already got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I shared it with her school. And in her school, there's a lot of like individuals that are writers and authors. Mm-hmm. and artists, and they saw that and they're like, oh, we're gonna schedule an author interview for Chloe. And I'm like, oh my God, like, my baby's an author and she's 10, you know.
Yeah, that's so funny. I'm curious, I'm actually curious, do you still have the poem, or do you remember the poem that you read to your coworker?
I do, I have it. It was tough. I think it was tough because the poem has changed its meaning to me as a writer in many ways. It's in Spanish. I can read it to you. It's kind of long, but
sure. Would you be willing to?
Yeah, it's just talking about unresolved issues of a mother and daughter, like the the beautiful mother-daughter duo dynamic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. the learning between mother and daughter.
That it goes full circle as well, because when I became a mother, I was like, yo, I used to think my mom, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this better than my mom. And I'm like, yo, I'm fucked up. I just...
I am better.
Of course, I don't say that in the poem, but like, mm-hmm. it made me come into this realization, like, as mothers, we're doing the best we can, you know. Mm-hmm. My mother focused a lot in religion, and that and that happens a lot with a lot of mothers that come from our countries. We're just mm-hmm. like so focused that our kids have this innate ability to quote the Bible and be so prim and proper. And then when life happens, you're like, it's not prim and proper, right? And mm-hmm. the Bible is not going to get us through some of the hardest moments. I'm not trying to sound anti-religion, because mm-hmm. I do believe in God.
Yeah.
But like, some things I wish we wouldn't focus on religion so much.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not super religious either. And I'm sorry to all of you listening, but that's just me, and, you know, unapologetically as well. You know, so when I was in the religious world with my mom and everything like that, I used to just see it as a guide, right? Like, don't use it as a rule book, but use, if you want to, just use it as a guide, because life is something that we're figuring out every single day.
Definitely.
There's things that probably a book and whatever religion it is says, oh, this is wrong, or this is not the way it is. And when you actually do that, like, we have the tendency of going into this weird, like, shameful or guilty place, right? As, I don't know, most cultures, but as Latinos and Latinas, like, we tend to go into that guilt place. And just remember that, use it as a guide. Whatever it is that you're following, you know, like, you're doing the best you can, and we're learning every single day. And as you said, your mom was doing the best she could, you know, and maybe her focus was on God, religion, and whatever. But something we've learned, and I've learned, is that, you know, our parents did the best they could with the resources they had. And that's what we're doing here as well.
I think for me, like, the part that I was, and it was funny, because me and my mom had this really amazing moment in my life. And I want to say it was like a month ago. And I forgot how she asked, but like, this is what I'm inferring. She's like, is there anything that you wish I didn't do when you were growing up? Like, that's kind of like, that's like a good like, did I ever, like, she was asking that I did anything racist, or like, you know, like, we were having a call, and I was like, and like, I thought back, like, before I answered, and I was like, oh my God, for like, I get teary, because like, for us to have that moment, it took many, many, like, hard opportunities to be like, let's have a real conversation about this. Mm-hmm. And I said to her openly, like, I so wish our focus when we were children, and it's not that it's bad. I grew up Mormon. Mm-hmm. The Mormon religion is not bad, but I think you see what I'm trying to advocate for now. Like, this was my issue. Like, none of the people we grew up with, we have like really close relationships with.
Got it.
And none of them were like, and I hate saying this, like, not that they were horrible people, but parents sometimes like force these relationships in these communities, and it doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And I told her, and I gave examples, and I don't want to say too much about the Mormon religion, because I still fondly respect it. But I think what I was telling her was that, I think you understand some of the concerns I had about growing up Mormon. When I went to BYU, Idaho, I went to one of their smaller satellites. I didn't have a positive experience. Actually, race was something that was really brought up a lot. Mm. And it was hard for her to see that and conceptualize that, because Mormon doctrine and principle talks about inclusivity in so many regards. But I kind of explained to her, just like there's good people in religion, there's people that might not be acting on that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it took, she was like, yeah, I understand now. And I'm like, look at all the great people I met and they're not Mormon.
Like
that was like, you know, like they're not Mormon. They're from different backgrounds. Our best friend that I love, I love him to death. His name is James. We talked about like religion because he grew up Indian, but he's Christian, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the things and the expectations. And I think that's what's the hard part. When you grew up in like a very strict religious community, my mom's main focus is that everyone I was really close with happened mm-hmm. to be Mormon.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't actually have those like real true connections. No. You had to go and find them.
Well, that happened mm-hmm. a lot. I had to go and find them. And I also feel like a lot of people, like, you know, when you're in these communities and people undermine you a lot, I was so undermined.
Yeah.
And it was clear to me I was undermined so badly, you know? And it's funny because one of the people that was like a horrible individual to me and my sisters, she was like such a bully and racist mm-hmm. into a certain degree. And I say racist because I blatantly say it because it's true. You know? Yeah. It took my mom to be like, oh my God, like I didn't see it now, but I see the adult that person became. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. You know, but it's great that she finally, like, you know, it's a little on the later side, but at least it's great. I think it's amazing that she finally came and asked you, hey, what do you think? You know, give me your thoughts or your opinions on this. And, you know, maybe from here on out, now she's learning and she's moving forward with maybe more open mindedness or open awareness to all the possibilities that, you know, she was closed off to. Back in the past when you were younger. So I think it's amazing that you had that conversation. I know I've had some interesting conversations with my mom and she's definitely came around as well because of either culture, religion, her age, you know, just like all these things in a mix and all put in a box, you know, and mixed together. And so, yeah, in order to take out each piece from those boxes is a challenge, but at least we're at this point in our life where they're starting to see or seeing the change in us or the things that we are accomplishing. So I think that's amazing that you had that conversation.
Yeah. I also think it, like, one thing that catapulted that conversation was like, we were looking at the bigger picture mm-hmm. of like the people that she wanted us to have these close relationships. A lot of the people I still love and keep in contact with and things like that. But like in all truth, like had I been able to have an honest conversations about like my feelings and my thoughts for the future on how I really want to talk about race and culture in books. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't had those. I had a conversation with one of my childhood friends that I look up to that happens to be Mormon. And we also had a very honest conversation about racism in the Mormon religion, mm-hmm. you know, like how we experienced it in different degrees.
Yeah.
But did I have that conversation with the larger community? No.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what was crucial because to be who I am, you also have to understand some of the hurt and like the being vulnerable I had to get to. I you know, I was called the N-word mm-hmm. when I used to live in Idaho. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the N-word meant. I was like, "Yellow con nigger." Like I Yet I grew up in freaking Washington Heights.
Yeah.
You know, like I heard other terms, cocolo, prieto, mm-hmm. moreno, mm-hmm. pero esa palabra,
mm-hmm.
why?
Because era nueva.
Era nueva. Yeah. And where did I learn it? In a Mormon community. Like, isn't that insane? Even though it has a good foundational thoughts. Like mm-hmm. not everyone, I guess what I'm trying to say, like learning to like keep my eyes open that not everyone's going to be about doing the right thing
mm-hmm.
at all time. It's okay. I don't have to judge them or hate them for it, but that hurt me. Like that really scarred me
yeah.
in a young, a young impressionable girl trying to make, you know, trying to make sense out of life, you know, yeah. coming from out of state. And then now as a mother, like being able to feel all the feelings and trying to be a storyteller, I'm trying to capture the underrepresented community because it hit home when I started writing, like, mm-hmm. I need to share my experiences with my kids because I only got one life to live. And if they're going to learn about their mother, I don't want them to learn about it when I'm dead. And people are like, oh, she was so awesome. She made buenos bizcocho. She hated cooking. And, you know, like they, yeah. I want them to hear from me and I want them to hear my story through mm-hmm. my books. Cause I know those will live on way past
yeah,
me.
You're so leaving a legacy already. And here on the podcast and any other podcast you get, you know, you're sharing a piece of your story, whether it's the whole thing or a piece of it, it's a chapter, right? So I think it's a thing and I appreciate you and I'm grateful to you for, you know, coming here and sharing your story and being vulnerable. And I think that's something that's really, really important.
Thank you.
When it comes to sharing your story, like there's so much power in the vulnerability, you know, and yeah, I think that's great. And I wanted to ask you, growing up, learning about who you really wanted to be or your actual gift, right? About like writing and motherhood. What do you think in your personal experience is the correlation between mental and physical health and the way that it's taken place in your life?
Oh, wow. So I'm going to be very honest. I hate exercising. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. But it's so important. I noticed that at times of, you know, like great stress, mm-hmm. I usually try to walk a lot. And it's very mm-hmm. important for me because I'm trying to release some of the tension and get to a point that I'm thinking clearly. So I've been like meditating a lot because a lot of people don't realize this. Finding 5 minutes to journal is a form of meditation. Mm-hmm. And just reforming, like writing whatever it is that I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that practice on and off for 8 months now. And I say on and off because out of the 7 days out of the week, I do it 4 to 5 days. And I think okay. that's a win.
Yeah.
That's a huge win because I've been getting more clear on my feelings. And guess what? I don't produce the best if I'm not feeling right and I'm in a bad place in my life. Mm-hmm. I do invest in a therapist. I mm-hmm. speak to her often. We speak about whatever stressors I may be experiencing or going through the week, but I cannot stress enough how important it is to be like in a healthy state of mind.
Yeah.
And you know, things are triggering in life. Like people don't really like to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've had
really
a conversation.
Bump up against people's triggers. Just like,
yeah, like no one's working up with the sign saying, don't ask this question because you're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was having a conversation with a writer and she's a mother and she's an educator too. She's an amazing individual. I really admire her. And we were talking about things that trigger us when we go into meetings as writers, right?
Yeah.
And this is just the truth, y'all. If you're a writer and you're presenting your work to a publishing house, you have no idea how many times I've heard from publishing houses, oh, I don't like the hair is too big. Can mm-hmm. we make it like a softer curl? Or the skin tone is not white enough or is not black enough. So then, and this happens not to me. It happens to a lot of individuals. To me, all that could be a little, I don't want to say it's triggering, but it's also like a reminder of how we have a long way to go to talk about inclusivity. Because one of the biggest discussions among writers that I have with other writers is like how to be your authentic self and present the way you want to present. Because mm-hmm. people either always say you're not white enough and you're not black enough. And as Latinos, we're in this weird space.
Yeah.
That time, because guess what? We're like a lot of shades of the rainbow, just like other communities. And it's not acceptable in some places still, even in literature.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for that. And I did want to ask you, because I know you are a writer and you have several books, what are you up to right now? What's your goal on either writing or your life? What's going on? Share with us.
I totally wrote that switch that just happened. I have to hide it because this is a question I got pulled in, being asked a lot. I wrote a piece not too long ago. I am still playing with it, and it's going to be in a prose. It's going to be in English only, and it's called Under the Platano Tree. And I'm really going to drive the message home of culture, family ties. It's a grandmother and a little boy, but I want to drive this message in such a different way than I have done with any of my books, because it's kind of like an homage to my grandmother. She passed away when I was 15. I was named after her. Her name is Luz Maria.
Okay.
And I'm Luz Maria. But my nickname is Luchi because of her. So I had this beautiful dream. I was dancing with her under a platano tree, but I wasn't me. And I saw myself as a little boy. So I wrote this book, this called Under the Platano Tree. It's like a good night story. And I went through some beta readers. It was actually going to get picked up by two publishing houses that were considering it. And we went back and forth for a couple of times, but I'm still in love with my story. So that's what I've been working on.
That's exciting.
Also, I'm happy because the people that are going to represent this book, I wanted them all to be Dominican.
Okay.
Because in a weird way, I've never worked with everyone Dominican, right? Like, you know, like, I don't know.
You've always mixed it up or something.
Yeah, I always mix it up. And I always love variety. But I was like, it'll be fun to hear people's perspective. And we're all Dominican. Like, we all, we have that in common. But
that's amazing.
You know, so the lady who wants to, who we've been talking back and forth about doing the voice for the book, she's a Dominican actress. And when she read it, she was, she's in LA. She's based in LA. She was like, oh my God, this is, I really love it. Like, I you know, at first I was like, I hope she likes it because she's agented, and I didn't think she would. If it like, obviously, when you're with an agent, you don't pick a lot of self-published writers. You just don't. You have to work through, I guess, whatever process that is.
Yeah.
I was really touched that she liked it. And I am working with an illustrator that is Dominican from the Dominican Republic, who's living in Dominican Republic. And we have a call today.
Yeah.
And we've gone through so many variations of the art. But I'm just going to say the setting of this book is on a platano field. No one's done this. I've never seen a book about this. I've seen a book about platanos, how to eat them, like fry, this and that. How to take storytelling. And I love that book, by the way. I own that book because I thought it was like, yes. And I also saw the book about avocados and I'm like, yes. But I wanted to take storytelling in a different way.
That's so cool.
I was inspired about that. It was inspired de la vida del campo. My life.
So puros Dominicanos?
So everyone is very Dominican.
Very.
My animator is
some Dominican variation.
My animator is going to be the same. He's not Dominican, but he's Islander. He's Puerto Rican. I shared with him this piece and he's like, he was so funny. His name is Victor. I consider him a brother. He's like, you did it again. You wowed me.
Yes.
And he works with so many people, but it's always like a compliment to see someone that you see the work they do and they love, and you, they love your ability to storytell.
Well, you're doing something right.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, let me know when that is done. That way I can share it and cheer you on, cheer you up. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. It's all in English. So this is why I really like it, because it's not going to relate to only Dominicans, but it's going to relate to Islanders and people from, you know, our countries and South America as well. Like, I can't wait. Like, I just, when I read it to a different group of individuals that are not all Latino, they were like, oh my God, it made me think of, like, I love hearing, that's what excites me. I love it. It reminded me of this, like people are actually putting cultural connections to stories. And it's the same with the Maria character that people love, which I'm kind of like stepping away from for now.
Okay. But that book is out, right?
The Maria book? Yes. So there's two Marias. There's Pequeña Maria, Little Maria. Maria la Super Ayudante, Maria the Super Helper. And Pequeña Maria Descubre Su Baile. Little Maria Discovers Her Dance. That one just was released with Dominican Writers Press. And we're turning that one into an animation that should be out by April of 2021.
Cool. Nice. See all the amazing things that you're doing. And I'm so happy and honored to have you on here sharing your story. Yeah, because one day I'm going to be like, she was on my podcast.
It's so funny because so Maria has gotten the attention that she's going to be in a PBS program for Chat and Learn for New York City.
Wow.
And they were really focused on getting the third animation available so they could present it and feature it. And I was excited about that. But many people know that animating, it's a hard process. It's not, it's the same thing as creating a book. It's not like, it takes time.
Yeah. Well, that is amazing. I'm excited. And I did want to ask you, if someone wanted to learn from you, based on the way that you've grown up or lived, what's something that you would want to share with someone who is kind of on the path to finding their gift?
It's funny because before us jumping on this call, many of the questions I get is like, how do you start? And I really honestly say, just start with a word or a sentence and write it down and just reread that sentence over and over again. And I know it sounds like something so simple, but I have an example. This week, I wrote three sentences. I reread those three sentences over again. And today, those three sentences evolved to like a whole paragraph.
Nice.
And that's how I play with storytelling. It takes time, but before I do the whole meeting things and playing with an idea, I write down like little bullet points. So while I do journaling, sometimes I like want to see where my thoughts take me to. So you really have to create a habit of giving 5 minutes to yourself and write down, what is it? Do I want to write a book about cookies? Do I want to write a book about this? You know, a lot of individuals want to write a book, and I'm really proud about that because I really do believe we need storytellers. But you have to also be honest with yourself. Am I willing to spend 5 minutes with myself to get to know myself and what makes me tick? What is it, like, the message I'm trying to deliver? And most importantly, what am I willing to be vulnerable about? Because that's what you're going to give up. A lot of people like to hide their vulnerability, and that's something that takes a lot of courage to bring out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And if someone wanted to find you on social media or website, what are your social media handles and your website?
Sure. So on my Instagram is Luz Mac Official, and Facebook as well, Luz Mac Official. And my website is luzmac.com, www.luzmac.com. I'm sorry for the website, guys. It looks a mess.
It looks amazing. Its books are right in your face.
It is. I'm trying to get more snazzy with it, but as a full-time mom, full-time worker, and also a storyteller,
yeah,
I did that website with so much pride. I'm not technical. So
Well, I've been able to find what I needed, so you'll be able to find what you need in the website.
Yeah. But one day I'm going to be a guru on website. That will be our next podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. She has it down.
Science.
Yes.
And I also have interns. So I actually been working with interns, obviously, that do not look like me or come from my community to help really drive the message on how we could deconstruct racism by being more inclusive.
And that's these, cool.
The sort they don't see it now, but at the end of the semester, they all say like, oh my God, I never knew there's not so many books representing Afro-Latino kids or bilingualism or this or that. So they all come off with that knowledge. And I'm like, okay, now go out now there and be somebody, write something.
Yeah, leave the nest. Yeah, I actually interviewed someone who wrote a book about the Hondureño country, like,
yes,
I'm Hondureña, so like half, and she's Hondureña, and she wrote a book about.
Is it Christine?
Yes,
Christine Osorio.
Yeah, I had her on here.
We spoke yesterday. We speak often.
Nice.
She's one of the writers we bounce ideas from and talk a lot. I learned from her, and I hope she learned something from
me. I'm sure she does. I'm going to send her a message. Did you learn something?
No. She's amazing. But one thing we do talk about, because we're both New Yorkers too. Mm-hmm. Like, so we both have this edginess of being New Yorker from the Bronx.
Yeah.
And then and like trying to keep our cultural roots. And Rosalía was such an awesome book.
Yeah.
To bring those two messages home.
Yeah, I bought it. And then I also bought one for my niece. Because my brother is in Louisiana. They moved from Honduras like a couple years ago. So I was like, let me buy her this book because she's starting to learn to read. And and it's cool because it's I think it's bilingual, too, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I was like, hey, here's your, here's your culture. Don't forget it. You know, let's always remember our culture.
And it's so funny because we need more books like that. You know, we need more books that are. We're like really challenging the norms. Get to know Honduras from the mindset of a child. Get to know Dominican Republic, even though I'm not in your face saying that, but with these books, or get to know.
Yeah, you're making me want to write a book now.
Like,
I collaborated in a book, but
there's a book called Island Born, and Juno Diaz wrote this book.
Okay.
And it's the images are insane. They're beautiful and everything like that. But every time I see that book, I'm like, yo, that's how it felt like for me being a little girl in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we're speaking of our experiences in such a unique way. And, you know, Naive Reynoso, she wrote this cool, cute children's book called How to Fold a Taco.
Oh, wow.
And actually, my son liked it. And it was so funny because he's like, mommy, let's fold a taco. That was the message he got from the book, right? And it was such a cute thing. But it's like, for real, though, how many taco books do we have? Not many. And we don't have it in a whimsical, funny way.
Yeah, we just talk about our tacos that we like.
Yeah, we all have Taco Tuesday. That became a slogan. But why?
That's so funny. Yeah, well, thank you so much. You just highlighted some people, some amazing authors as well in different cultures.
I have to highlight one more.
A ver, dale. Wait.
Kiani Antigua, she just wrote a book called Kiara and the Virus, and it was written now for these COVID times.
Kiara?
Kiara and the Virus. I think that. And her name is Kiani Antigua. She's a professor at Dartmouth. So...
cool. So all these
fellow writers are doing amazing stuff.
Yeah. And I'm going to put all the links to these books in the show notes. I'm going to put your links in the show notes. So everybody go follow, buy her books, and keep up with Luz Maria. She's amazing. You look so beautiful today. I love it. Take it.
So one time I actually did something and now we're in a bun.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Super honored and super excited for you.
Thank you.
I felt so in my space in this conversation with Luz. Here are some things I picked up on, and maybe you picked up on these same things, or maybe something else, right? We all learn differently. We all perceive things differently, but I really appreciate you being here. So 5 minutes of journaling is still a form of meditation. You get to write what's on your mind, you get to brain dump and not care about it being grammatically correct or not, because this is just for you. Things in life can be triggering, and it's better to know that they will be there, but also don't keep everything locked, right? Talk to someone about that stuff and work on clearing those things up from whatever is inside you, whatever is holding you back. And one more thing that I got with her, and there's so much that I got actually, but here, just a few. Know that when you are putting yourself out there, you will get all kinds of feedback, whether positive, negative, or all things in between. Keep going, stay persistent, and stay authentic to who you are and how you want to present yourself. So those are the things that I learned from Luz in this episode, and I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. And here's a few little last things, últimas cositas, like I like to say. Check out Luz Maria's website, luzmac.com. She's got books in there. She's got 7 books, and her more recent one is called Under the Plátano Tree, which is on pre-order at the moment, and its release date is supposed to be September 19th, 2021. So definitely show support there, as well as supporting Pequeña Maria, the Instagram filter. So whenever you finish this episode, go check out the Instagram filter. It's so cute, and then share it with her. Just tag her on Instagram. So definitely check out her books. A few other books she shared about, because everybody is super supportive, we all collaborate and connect, right? One is called Kiara and the Virus, or in Spanish, Kiara y el Virus. That one is by Kiani Antigua. Another book that she shared is Island Born by Juno Diaz. And another one, How to Fold a Taco by Naibe Reynoso. So if you haven't done so already, please share, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It honestly continues to help me so much to pop up on platforms like Apple, Google, and all the other places. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, on MetaFitMetaMind Podcast, on Facebook, or on the website MetaFitMetaMind.com. Also, check out the group, MetaFitMetaMind Community, on Clubhouse at Coach Carlita, or on Instagram at Coach Carlita. Thank you so much for listening to this episode up to this point. I am Carla Rodriguez. This is MetaFit MetaMind Podcast, where we are normalizing the conversations that we would have never had. Until next time.